This morning we're in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we will be looking at the first two verses where we read, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So as we come to this 12th chapter, we notice that the writer, using a figure of speech, is drawing for us a word picture. Now, pictured for us is a race. In fact, that word for race is agon. It's the word from which we get our English word agony. This isn't a short race, this is a strenuous race, not a sprint. This race goes on for a good while. And in this word picture, there is, I think you would agree with me, the feel of an arena. We'll call it Faith Arena. Many events have been held here. In fact, the arena is as old as the Bible itself. And as we imagine this arena, I want you to see banners hanging down, just like we see in our modern stadiums today. And emblazoned on those banners are the names of those who have competed here in the arena. A great cloud of witnesses, we are told. Now, they're not there in the arena, but the power of their witness, what they did when they ran their course, is very powerful, and it's palpable. I mean, you just sense the history. You sensed the accomplishments of faith as you stand in this arena. Now, talks about a race, and there are some particularities of this race. For one thing, each participant has a course that they will run, but the course that you may run is not the course that I will run. Everybody has a different course. You don't run mine, I don't run yours. We must run the course that is assigned to each one of us. Now, the passage, who is it speaking to? The passage, I believe, of course, is speaking to these folks identified as Hebrews. We know them as being a part of a beleaguered church, perhaps in Rome itself. And things have been pretty tough lately. And the tough times have taken a toll on the church. And some of them have kind of backed away from their profession of faith and the activity of faith. Some of them have made their way back to the practice of their former religion, the religion of Judaism. And so what is the writer saying? He's saying, you guys get back in the race. And he could very well be saying that to many of us today, get in the race. Some have dropped out. Some have known that there's something more in their Christian life. Maybe they just don't know some of the things that are revealed here in this passage. Now, there are several rules that are pointed out. I'll call them special instructions. Number one, it says this. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, if you're competing in a bodily contact sport, well, of course, there is extra weight because you've got to wear protective gear, don't you? You might have to have a helmet. You might have to have shoulder protection. But of course, this is talking more of the nature of a race. And it is a long race. So that being the case, you don't want any extra weight. It may not be a big deal at the beginning, but this is a long race. This is a strenuous race. And so you want to make sure that there is nothing that is going to encumber you. There is nothing that is going to hold you back. You want to get rid of weight that will become a problem as you get into the race. I remember many years ago, I was on a backpacking expedition. Never been backpacking before. And I thought I was in decent shape. Unfortunately, my preparation was at the wrong altitude. This backpacking trek started about 5,000 feet up. And that's really where I should have been, you know, getting in shape. There just wasn't any place of that altitude available around here. I didn't think it would be a problem. You know, I'm much younger than I am now. And I even had in my backpack a jar of peanut butter. And I remember a veteran backpacker taking note of the fact that I had this peanut butter with me, said, the bears are really going to like that. And I said, what do you mean the bears are going to like that? I said, this is for me. This is for my companions. And he says, no. He says, you'll go about 2,000 feet, and you'll leave that at the side of the trail. It will be heavy, heavy, heavy. By the time you get to that particular altitude, you know, this guy's sizing me up, you know. By the time you get to that altitude, he says, you're going to be cutting the handle off of your toothbrush. Any spare weight that can be, you know, disposed of. And so it is that in this particular race, we are told to get rid of anything that's going to weigh us down spiritually. And the very interesting thing, I mean, peanut butter, that's good, that's nutritious. Need my toothbrush, for goodness sakes. But the point being made is that there will be some things that are good, but listen, we're striving for God's very best. This race is important. This race, you know, we're all busy. We're all busy. Most of us. And yet so much of what we do, so much that consumes our time, our energy, have no bearing at all upon eternity. There are things that we do that will be forgotten in eternity, but this race won't. This race is of absolute importance. And so we don't need anything that's going to impede our progress. And that's why I need to make this evaluation. What is going to hinder me in this race? What is going to slow me down? And by the way, you know, my weight may not be your weight. And what I mean by that is, you know, the things that might have a tendency to weigh me down may not be a factor at all in your life. So these are very important personal questions that we ask. Get rid of extra weight. But the second thing is that not only are we to get rid of the weight that could impede our progress, we're also to get rid of the sin that easily ensnares us. And just the way that's put, just the way that's phrased, would lead me to believe that we're talking about sin that we've become so used to, that has become such a habit in our life that we barely even recognize it as sin. It's just something that's been a part of our life for so long that we pay no attention to it. But listen, all sin is a threat. We must take everything in our life that is not pleasing to God, that in God's eye is a sin. We've got to treat it as a very real threat that, first of all, will get us all tangled up. Isn't that what it says? Well, it says easily ensnares us or entangles us. Because, listen, entanglement can lead to entrapment. And you can get so tangled up, so trapped, that you become disqualified. You no longer can run in the race. You're out because of the sin that you have not dealt with. So we need to be careful. I have a hunch. We're not told exactly. But it could very well be that these folks that the writer is addressing, their sin is unbelief. Now, they make the right statement of belief. They say they believe certain things, but heart-wise, attitude-wise, action-wise, I mean, it's kind of like they're atheists. They say the right things, but what they do doesn't reflect any kind of belief at all. You see, unbelief can be a sin. We always think, when we think of sin, usually we think of sins of commission. But there are also sins of omission, the things that we don't do that we should do. You know, we say that we trust the Lord. And there's this little voice in the morning that says, okay, you've got a big day ahead of you. You better spend some time with me. The Holy Spirit just tugging at our hearts. You know, it would be a good thing to pray. It would be a good thing to take a few minutes and just open your heart. Open yourself up to the Lord. But no, do I do that? No, I'm too busy to do that. Now, I'm not talking about myself personally. I've learned that that's crucial. But some of us have learned that the hard way. We've felt that tugging at our heart. We've felt God calling us to start the day by, you know, just checking in with Him. We don't do that, and we come home grumpy, disgruntled, saying, man, what is going on? I mean, everything went wrong today. What's up with this? And my wife used to ask me when I would come home and have those kinds of days. She would say, honey, did you pray? Oh, that question would anger me. Because I knew I should have. I knew that I should have spent a little time with the Lord. But you see my point. The fact that I don't is really an expression of unbelief. It's really saying to the Lord, hey, God, don't worry about me. You know, I can take care of it. I'm a big boy. You know, I'll handle it. It's okay. And, you know, that leads to all kinds of different problems. We kind of come back to this this concept of running this course. This course that has been expressly designed for us. Expressly designed for me. And there are times where I think, man, I don't think I can finish this course. It's tough. But I'll tell you, the course that God has defined for you is a course that you can finish. But you must do it in dependence upon Him. It's very interesting. You know, some people, they'll jump into the race. They're in the race. They're excited. They're pumped. You know, they get some extra equipment, so to speak. Yeah, I've got three different Bibles here. I've got the NIV. I've got the King James Version. I've got the ESV Study Bible. I've got all of this stuff. And man, they start out and they're excited. And then they flame out. They flame out. Just weeks later. You okay? You're sitting down, man. You're on the sidelines, man. Oh, this race is too tough for me. I'm out. So, listen, we run the race with endurance. We run the race understanding that there will be obstacles. There will be discouragements. There will be disappointments. Sometimes the disappointment will have to do exclusively with ourselves. Man, I messed up. But we continue on. That's the point. We run the race. We run it with endurance. We don't know what's next in the course. We're following the Lord, but we keep moving. We keep putting one foot in front of the other. I remember that on that backpacking trip. Oh my goodness, I was so tired. I was so weary. The trail was so narrow. I couldn't stop. I just had to keep putting one foot in front of the other. You know, the Apostle Paul describes something of his course. He says this. Now, he's just kind of giving the overview. He's talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. And he describes a little of his ministry, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now here's the verse I want you to hear. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course. It says race, but the word means course, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul says, I've got my course. I've got my assignment. I need to keep moving. I need to keep going forward. Whatever the obstacle, whatever the discouragement, keep going. It reminds me of an earlier passage here in the book of Hebrews, where the writer says in chapter 6, he says, let us go on to maturity. You see, this course is designed to grow you up. I mean, how sad when you have someone that professes to be a believer, and yet they are at a point of immaturity, and they're kind of stuck there. They've been stuck there for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Listen, you follow the Lord along the course that he has prescribed, and in following that course, it will bring you to a place of maturity in Christ. You know, Paul, who may very well have been the writer of Hebrews, we don't know. The writer is not identified. Folks like myself strongly suspect that Paul wrote it, but he uses the figure of speech of a race several places. Let me read you one place where he uses this figure of speech. Do you not know that those who run in a race, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. You understand that. You get that. Hey, I'm running a race. You know, I can't eat that. I can't do that. It will interfere with my conditioning. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. That was really kind of an amazing thing. They didn't have the manufacturing capability to turn out fancy trophies, apparently. So the contender who would win the race would get this laurel leaf, and it would kind of fit around his head, sort of a band around his head, but didn't last very long. Couldn't put it in your trophy case because the thing is going to wilt and fade and crinkle, you know? I mean, just didn't last very long. So it is a perishable crown. But Paul points out, we're running for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So Paul ran. He ran with great patience and endurance, but all the while he understood the need to not let up, to not allow anything or anyone to stop him. He started strong and he finished strong. So we need to run with endurance. You know, you might think, this sounds like a competitive event. You know, who am I competing with, anybody? Am I competing with people in here? You know, no. I'll tell you who you're competing with. Somebody just said it. We're competing with ourselves. We're competing with that part of ourself that says, I believe in the things that I can see with my eye. I live in the visible realm. You know, I walk by sight. I live my life by the things that I can see and that I can know and that I can understand in a plain kind of way. You know, all of this spiritual stuff, I'm not sure about that. You know, we all have that element in us. Walking by sight rather than by walking in faith. And so we really are competing against ourselves. Is it going to be the man of faith, the woman of faith, who is looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it going to be the man who looks toward the counsel of the world, who looks toward, you know, what he understands life to be? Which is it going to be? You see, we do, in a real way, compete. And we're running for a prize. But sometimes ourselves can get in the way. Now, this brings us to the heart of the passage, because what does the author say? He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Jesus is identified as the author of our faith. And the word in the original language suggests something very important. Now, when I say the author of our faith, I think we can say that Jesus is, even according to this, the initiator of our faith. I know there were a lot of things that I didn't believe before Jesus came into my life and gave me that new life, born again into a life where the invisible realm became real to me. You know, it was kind of gradual, but the more I learned of the Lord, the more I began to believe in things that I couldn't actually see with, you know, my physical eye, but there was an eyesight, a spiritual eyesight, through the eye of faith that was beginning to be developed in me. So here I am today, and I believe this book from cover to cover. I don't have to strain at doing so. I won't say that I understand it from cover to cover. There are passages that I don't understand yet. Lord willing, you know, there will come a day when more understanding will be imparted, but I believe this book. I believe it because of the faith that has been developed in my life. And I know the absolute necessity of continuing to look to Jesus. He got this whole thing started in my life. In fact, you might say it was by a look, looking unto Jesus. You know, that's where it all started. You know, I came to that realization that this is real. He's real. He loves me. He died for me. That whole thing. And now I continue to look to him. But I look to him, listen, I look to him as the pioneer of my faith. In other words, he's already, like the Apostle Paul, gone through the course that God has laid out for him. And many of you know that that course that he followed, it led to a cross. It led to a horrific spirit experience, humanly speaking. Now, let me stop and say something very important. There are people that think, well, yeah, sure, Jesus came down here and he did those things. He performed miracles. It was really quite a life, but he was God, and I'm not. You know? Of course he could do this. But listen, the Bible is very clear that when Jesus came, he laid aside some of the prerogatives of deity. He was still God, but he was God in the flesh, and he came determined to live life on the same terms that you and I live life. In other words, he didn't depend upon his attributes of deity. He depended upon the Holy Spirit and upon the Father, just as you and I would depend upon the Holy Spirit and the Father. And he did it the whole way, depending on the Father. He would say that. He would make that absolutely clear. I don't speak of myself or from myself. I speak from the Father. It was always that way. Now listen, that in no way, shape, or form changed the equality that existed between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all equal. But Jesus put himself in that place of submission. And so he comes finally at the end of his course to the cross. It says, enduring the cross, despising the shame. He went through all of that. He embraced all of that, the suffering, the pain, the shame. Why? What does it say? It says, for the joy set before him. And that raises an important question. What precisely was that joy that was set before him? I'll answer that question. You were the joy. You were the joy. The joy of seeing you lifted out of the darkness, the confusion, the cesspool of sin, and to use the phraseology of the psalmist, for your life to be set upon a rock, a song put in your mouth. You are a new creature in Christ, transformed from the inside out. He could see that. He could see down through the ages. All of these lives transformed, including yourself. Did you know that if you were the only one, Jesus would have willingly, joyfully gone to the cross for you? That was his joy, to see your life transformed out of the darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of deadness into life everlasting. That was his joy. He did it for you. He did it for me. And where is he now? It says he sat down. Whenever Whenever I see that expression, he sat down, it reminds me of something that he said just before he died. And what was that? It is finished. It is finished. He's sitting down because the work for my redemption, it's all been done. So, he's the one I look at. He's the one upon whom my eyes are fixed. Because as I look to him, the author of my faith imparts fresh faith. You know, for me, I need fresh faith every day. I can't live on yesterday's faith. I can't live on month-old faith. I need a fresh impartation of faith. You know, Peter, he talked about not seeing the Lord. He says, though I can't see you, yet I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, can't see with these eyes, but every day, more and more, the eye of faith is being strengthened and sharpened. So, we're there in the arena of faith, and we're looking at these banners. We're looking at all of these people who have run before us, and so many more that aren't represented, but they've run as well. Paul wrote, he got to write this. Sometimes the course finishes and suddenly we're in the presence of the Lord. But there was an interval. And Paul wrote, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. You know what? If you love his appearing, he's not here yet, but he's coming. If you love his appearing, you'll be in the race. You'll be running. And you will be thinking of that finish line where you will find yourself in the visible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those banners, some of you, you've got family issues. Huge obstacle. Huge obstacle. Look up on that banner. There's Joseph. Joseph. He had some pretty tough family issues. His brothers kidnapped him. But not only that, after being reunited with them, by faith, he took care of them. And of course, he forgave them. So all kinds of interesting examples where there were obstacles and there were difficulties. And these guys, they marched through them. They kept moving. And maybe some of you, maybe you're thinking, well, I've been in this race for a long time, and lately it just seems like I'm going nowhere. Well, then what does that mean? It means that you need to evaluate, do a little survey of your life and determine, number one, are there some weights that I need to cast off? You know, wasn't heavy before, but this jar of peanut butter's got to go. Are there sins that you just kind of neglected and now they're catching up with you? And you're getting tangled and you're getting entrapped in them. And you're immobilized. Confess that sin to the Lord. Deal with that sin. Repent of it. Renounce it. Cast it off. You know, there are some people that are so wrapped up in their problems that their eyes are fixed upon themselves. And maybe it's time for you this morning to get your eye off yourself and refocus upon the Lord. Maybe there's some things, personal issues, that you just need to give over to the Lord. They become weights. Maybe they're entrapping sins. But you need to refocus upon Jesus. Remember where he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says right here in the book of Hebrews that he ever lives to make intercession for you. He's praying for you. He wants to help you. He wants to get you right back into the heart of this race. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to fortify you. But listen, if you know Jesus this morning, you belong in that race. Get in it.